normally it's you with the microphone problems, but this time I don't know. Well, actually, I do know what went wrong. I had the soundboard. I had the output things going to the input things. So it was just the streams got crossed is basically what happened.
You don't cross the streams.
No, we know bad things happen when you cross the stream. So
it would be very bad.
When's the last time you've seen Ghostbusters, by the way?
I think I'd be generous if I said 6 months, maybe a year. Ooh. Probably early this year.
Do you feel like that's a problem in your life that you haven't seen Ghostbusters lately? Are you content with leaving that movie in your past?
I've seen it so much that I watched it in the theaters as a kid. My dad took me.
Yeah, you had a good dad. Happy Father's Day to your dad, by the way. Taking you to go see Ghostbusters as a kid.
Seriously, I should. Wait, hold on 1 second, okay. Then I'll get back on this. All right.
Sounds like you got a dungeon in there or something, man.
What's that? Sorry about that.
It sounds like you've got a dungeon in there. Do you like have to lock up the GIMP for the night or something? What happened?
Ka-ching. I shut the front door. Shut the front door. and then I shut the window. Actually, we did some redecorating in the apartment, and the the TV and the couch switched spots. So I am now near one of the windows, which is pretty nice, but it's different. So I gotta reconstructure everything.
You know, I'm leaving all that in the podcast because I think people want to know how you redecorate your home. I think that's witty conversation there. Now, so your dad took you to go see Ghostbusters as a kid. That's awesome.
Yes, he did. I think I begged because as a kid, when did that come out? 84,
yeah.
So I was 5 years old, maybe.
Oh, man.
And all those jokes, of course, went way over a five-year-old's head. I look back and I watch it now as an adult, and I'm like, oh, my God, this was hilarious. And I'm sure my dad was chuckling, but as a kid, a five-year-old kid, it's like, come on. I was scared at the librarian ghost. I was scared at a couple other things. Yeah. Especially the arms coming out of the couch to grab Sigourney Weaver and take her into the lit up kitchen and stuff like that. I was freaked out as a kid.
Dude, I saw that movie in late high school for the first time, and that even scared me then. So don't peg that on your age as the reason it's scary. It's just legitimately scary filmmaking. So you didn't get the part where the ghost was gonna give oral sex to Dan Aykroyd.
No, I had no clue about that. I had no clue about when they. Yes, sir. This man has no penis. You know, there's so many inside jokes, or just subtle jokes that just make that movie so great.
Yeah.
And they, yes, I will not. I will admit, yes, as a 5 year old, they flew over my head.
Well, that means your parents did a good job of raising you. If those flew over your head.
Mm.
So was that?
Especially as a 5 year old.
Was that your favorite movie that you went to go see with your dad? Ghostbusters?
I don't remember. The only other movie I can think of, I'm sure he took me or my mom took me to a bunch of other films, and my older siblings as well. The ones I remember specifically, I remember, I think he took me to go see The Rescuers, which was the Disney film.
The first one or the second one?
The second one. I think the first one came out before I was born.
Yeah, it was before. Yeah, it was like in 1970 something or whatever.
So The Rescuers Down Under, I think that was I don't even know what year that was. I'm going to be generous.
It was like 2010 or something like
that? No, it was not.
No, that's not right. Sometime in the 90s. I think it was like 90 or 91.
My father did not take me to go see a Disney animated movie 5 years ago. No.
Well, you know what? 5 years ago, Tangled came out, and that's I am not ashamed to say that's still my favorite movie. So you know what? Your dad would have done good doing that for you.
I've never seen that movie, and I never will. And I've never seen Frozen either, so don't even talk about
that. Tangled's a better movie. Go do yourself a favor and go watch Tangled. No, you know what? I look back on Father's Day and Mother's Day, and I look back at all the bad movies my parents took me to see. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. I owe you, my whole life for you having to sit through those awful, awful movies. Like, my mom took me and my friends to go see – or my dad took me and my friends and go see Three Ninjas. That's a terrible movie, man. When's the last time you've seen that movie? It's awful.
Probably late 90s when it came out first, when it first hit cable.
Oh man, I just think about my dad sitting there watching that movie, and I weep for him because this is like 1993 or 94 or whatever, when there's like, he can't just like pull out the cell phone and check Twitter, Facebook or whatever and just pass the time. He has to sit there and watch that stupid movie. And then my mom, she also took us to see the third Ninja Turtles movie. You remember that piece of garbage?
Was that the one where they travel time back into Japan? Yes.
Yeah, that movie is atrocious. I haven't seen that movie since I was like, I don't know, whenever that movie came out was the last time I've seen that movie. It's just
I think I did maybe about a year ago. I did the all three in a row, and number one and number two were fun to watch, and number three, by the time I got there, I don't think I finished it because I was like, I'm done. I'm done.
There's no Shredder in that movie. There's no Karai in that movie. No. Bebop or Rocksteady? Like,
I don't think there's a Casey Jones either, is he?
He does like a cameo. He shows up and like babysits for like these Japanese dudes that
that's right. That came back. The samurais that came back.
But then I didn't know this until tonight because one of my coworkers, John, hi John, is really obsessed with the Ninja Turtles movies. And he told me that the guy who played Casey Jones plays like another character back in like feudal Japan, and like,
yes, he does.
Maybe there was like a link to those characters. Maybe that's like Casey Jones' lineage or something. I don't know.
Yes, his ancestors from Japan. Yet he has nothing to do. He doesn't look Japanese at all in New York.
No,
but. You know, hey, I'll give it to him. He is correct to that. I do remember that.
Yeah, I mean, that's about as ridiculous as, like, Tom Hanks playing a samurai or Tom Cruise playing a samurai. I mean, who would ever do something like that?
Hey, if Tom Hanks was playing a samurai, I think I'd probably watch that.
Oh, man, that would be great if Tom Hanks was in Last Samurai instead of Tom Cruise. Oh, man. Tom Hanks should be in, like, almost every movie. I think that'd be great.
I wish Tom Bosley was in The Last Samurai, too.
Oh, man. If Tom Bosley with a sword? Holy cow, man. That would rest in peace, Tom Bosley.
Okay, so he took me to go see Ghostbusters. Be jealous also because I just remember this one. As I said, I could only remember a handful of movies that my parents brought me. It was just because over time you forget stuff. Yeah. But I do remember as a six-year-old begging and begging and begging the sister that's just above me, so she's probably was early teenagers. She and her friend took me to go see The Goonies.
Man, that's fun.
Yes.
Wow, you got to go see a bunch of fun movies. We didn't get to go see the movies a lot because movies are expensive, apparently. But I like your childhood movie experiences better than mine because I remember going to see Super Mario Brothers in the theater. Do you remember that awful thing?
Yikes. I'm. You know what? I'm going to say that I've never actually seen that entire movie.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
I kind of think maybe you should watch it just to owe it to yourself to watch like a really, really bad movie. But then again, it's a really bad film, man. I don't know if you should subject yourself to that because there's so many other good movies you could be watching. Why settle for the Super Mario Brothers movie?
If I haven't seen that, but I do remember the Super Mario Brothers TV show with the cartoon and everything like that. Yes, you know what it is.
Yeah, is that the one with the Captain Lou Albano?
Captain Lou, yes.
Oh, man, he's dead, isn't he? Or is he still alive?
I think he passed a few years ago. And the story that I read, actually, is that the guy that was playing Luigi was always drunk. Either you told me that or somebody else was telling me that.
I might have told you that. That's because that sounds like something I would have told you.
It sounds like somebody you would know or something you would know, yeah.
Hey, speaking of wrestlers dying, man, we can't let this podcast go. Yeah, I know, I'm dragging us down here, but man, Dusty Rhodes died last week, and that's just a travesty of all sorts because there's so many rotten, awful people in this world. Why did Dusty Rhodes have to be the one who dies?
Let me tell you something, Daddy. Let me tell you something. Now, I was needed down on this planet Earth. However, the good Lord brought me upstairs because he had the problem at the pay window, and I had to go straighten it out. And I brought some bionic elbows for St. Peter and the holy host. And I brought them down, and I brought them pork and beans because I was dining and whining with kings and queens. Yeah, that was, I said this on Time Limit Draw, my other podcast.
There you go. Get that plug in there.
There we go. Oh, yeah. Mikey Watson, who is my wonderful co-host, he grew up watching a lot of Dusty Rhodes. And I actually didn't know of Dusty. I heard the name always as a young wrestling fan, but I didn't really know of his exploits pretty much until he was already retired. I saw some older stuff, you know, when I'd rent – go to the Blockbuster and rent the old pay-per-views, the Survivor Series or the SummerSlams.
Oh,
you know,
those were the days.
And see the polka dot Dusty Rhodes. And that was a shell of his former self.
Yeah.
But, you know, my most endearing memories of Dusty Rhodes were him – he was on the WCW commentary on the Saturday night or the, you know, just Monday Nitro. And he was just always just – when you could hear the enthusiasm from his voice, he was just a genuine fan of wrestling.
You know what? You had WCW announcers. You had him and you had Bobby Heenan, two legitimately entertaining people. I feel like they were misused on that WCW announce team. Like Tony Schiavone was always a dick to him. You know, like I don't know what was up his butt. But
a little bit. There were stories that that Bischoff also did not like Bobby Heenan, and because he didn't understand his humor. So there's some problems with that. But yeah, Dusty Rhodes, it's a shame that he passed away. We don't know. Do you know what the
heart
official
attack,
word? It was a heart attack? Okay.
Yeah. You TMZ know, was trying to air like the 911 videos and all that stuff of it. And, or not videos, audio. And that's like TMZ, like, what are you even doing? Like, go do something else. Like, I don't know. It just feels like something like that should be, you know, especially since he wasn't hurting anybody or anything. Like, what's the point of dragging up those 911 calls, you know?
Yes, like, it's not like, you know, he went and, you know, shot up a place or, you know, got a drunk driver and killed a bunch of people. Yeah, you know, it's a shame. And I was not, you know, there's some wrestlers that, you know, or celebrities that you expect. They're like, okay, well, they're 80 years old. They're, you know, they're 85. Christopher Lee died the night of Dusty Rhodes dying as well. Christopher Lee was 90-something.
Oh, wow.
And a wonderful actor. He was Scaramanga in The Man with the Golden Gun for James Bond. He was Count Dooku in the Star Wars prequels. He was Saruman in the Lord of the Rings as well.
That's right. I didn't realize he was 90, though. Like, that's really stinking old, man.
Yeah, he was. Let's see how old exactly he was. He was.
I'm going to guess 93. That's my guess.
Well, let's see.
It's the worst game we've ever played on this show.
Dun 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 dun. Cannot pick this up. Can't find his site. Here we go. He was born in 1940. No, crap, this is even getting more and more better. He was born in 1922. So quickly, do the math. 2015 minus 1922 is
93. Look at me go. Oh man, I won the worst game we've ever played on the show. Guess the dead man's age. Rest in peace.
Boo.
Man, but yeah, Dusty Rhodes is dead and that kid who shot up a church in Charleston is alive. If that's not a travesty of injustice in our universe, I don't know what is. And that's
I was saying, you know, Christopher Lee, you could, you know, people of his ilk, of his age, you expect them, you know, you don't want them to go, but, you know, you expect them to go pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know, they lived a nice 93 years on this earth. But somebody like Dusty Rhodes, 69, I think he was 69 or 68 years old. And, you know, that's hitting close to home. I don't know about your parents, but my dad and my mom are early 70s.
Oh,
so
man.
they're both 70 or 71, I believe. So yeah, it's tough, especially when somebody you've a wrestler or an actor that you've followed for many years, and they become kind of near and dear to your heart, and then they pass, and it's like, whoa, crap, and then it hits home, you know, obviously.
And yeah, my parents are in their mid to late 50s right now, so God willing, they've got, you know, 40, 50, 90 years left on this earth. But, you know, it's just, I don't know. Kind of makes me think or whatever. Like, you know, all these people that you cherish and you value. Like, I hadn't watched Dusty Rhodes match in quite some time. And then he dies. And I'm like, oh, geez, maybe I should have appreciated the guy a little bit more. And so, I don't know. Maybe I need to go back and watch some more wrestling matches from some other people before they end up kicking the bucket. And I feel bad all over again.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a shame. I don't think I was as shaken when Dusty Rhodes died. Obviously, it was a tragedy. Fair. You know, because I didn't know him. I only knew him as commentary. I knew him as the tail end of his career. I didn't follow him, and he wasn't, you know, a childhood star as opposed to somebody like an Eddie Guerrero when he died, and I was bawling because God, he was one of my favorite, you know, guys, and I followed him for, you know, 10 plus years from WCW to WWE. So, you know, I can only imagine that, you know, it's going to be crappy when somebody who I really, really like. Yeah, you know, obviously, when Macho Man died, that was painful.
Oh, he's the greatest wrestler of all time, Macho Man.
There you go. Well, when Ric Flair, you know, he's not necessarily a spring chicken himself. No. I don't really want. I hope he doesn't, you know, pass many years. But you know, hey, things like that happen. But you said for Dusty Rhodes matches, I would definitely suggest watching anything with Dusty Rhodes against somebody like Tully Blanchard from The Horsemen, or any of the War Games matches that Dusty was involved against the Horsemen, because they were just so good. Anytime, and even anytime Dusty fought Ric Flair, I mean, come on.
Yeah, that sounds like fun. Maybe I need to re-up my WWE Network subscription that I let lapse. Or just go on YouTube. YouTube sounds like it'd be an easier way to go with some of those matches. I'm sure they're all over the place on there.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all over that, or Daily Motion or something like that. But yeah, you know, that's what I did. The day of or the weekend of, I watched a couple of his matches. And, you know, it was, you know, cathartic and therapeutic and stuff like that. But yeah, it's a bummer that Dusty Rhodes passed away.
Hey, speaking of therapeutic, what'd you think of Avengers 2?
Ayo.
I don't know what that means.
Right. Wow. I don't know what that means either. But, you know, okay.
Something filthy, I'm sure, is what it means.
Something filthy. Okay. It was entertaining.
Yeah. I thought it was entertaining.
To quote Dennis Green, the great NFL coach, you know, Avengers 2, it was what we thought it was going to be. You know, it was an action film. It had all the stuff, you know, the stuff that was in that, you know, we liked from Avengers 1 or from Iron Man or from Captain America. I was a little let down with how the overall product was.
What part of it? Like the storyline or the fighting or what?
You know, I think not necessarily the fighting. I think more of the storyline. I think necessarily it seemed like just a rehash of the first story. It seems like they love doing the, you know, put the Avengers fighting a bunch of, you know, nameless drones or, you know, robots, kind of like what they did in Iron Man 3, where he started, you know, just sending a bunch of robots to fight a bunch of people. And it just, you know, it's a little presumptuous to call it the age of Ultron when really Ultron was in power for maybe a long weekend. I don't know.
You're right. That doesn't make any sense at all.
I liked James Spader as Ultron.
He's great. He was
awesome,
fantastic.
Awesome voice, awesome actor. I like all the actors, obviously. It just seemed like it was just another rehash. I'm not a big fan of Joss Whedon, so that's probably granted, it did not have the cutesy kind of saccharine-filled dialogue that Avengers 1 had.
Yeah.
I call it – he's – Joss Whedon, obviously, he made his buck writing and directing TV, you know, things like Buffy and things like Firefly and things like that. And his dialogue and his writing style is suited wonderfully for television. But it just it kind of irks me. It kind of rubs me the wrong way when it's, you know, for movies. I think it just needs to be tweaked a little bit. And I think he did it that for the second movie. However, it just really seemed... It seemed, like a rehash of the first movie. Was I mad that I saw it in the theaters? No. I mean, I liked it. You know, I like comic movies. You know, and it was what we thought it was going to be. It was
Thought you were going to say you were furious with the movie when you walked out of there and you just like broke things and threw your soda at an old lady and hit a DDT on somebody or something like that.
I wish
James
I did.
James Unleashed. Oh, that'd be fun.
You know, it wasn't as – I didn't dislike it as much as I disliked Iron Man 3.
Oh, Iron Man 3 was garbage. I am still mad about the way they did the Mandarin character in that movie. It's just like, wasted opportunities, what that movie felt
like. It was the Mandarin character. It was putting the spotlight on Gwyneth Paltrow's character. It was making her defeat the bad guy at the end and making, you know, I understand making Tony weak because it's the character arc, but it just, it irked me the wrong way.
The part that irked me about that movie was, like, he had all those, like, robotic, like, Iron Man drones went off and, like, fought for him. Like, I want to see Iron Man, not Iron Men, you know? Well, sometimes I might want to see Iron Men in other avenues of my life, but we'll keep my personal life out of this podcast from that.
I understand kind of why he decided to make a bunch of drones, because he was so freaked out from the events in Avengers 1 that he was maybe also watching his back. He didn't want to die, so he had a bunch of drones kind of doing his bidding, which is, you know, understandable. Character arc, here we go. Yeah. But you know, it just seemed like, you know, Avengers 2, it was, you know, a lot of the same kind of stuff over and over again. I welcomed the kind of the character, development of Hawkeye. I thought that was cool. I think a lot of people did not like that for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, I liked it. I liked that they didn't really I'm not a big Black Widow fan. I'm not a big Scarlett Johansson fan. So I'm glad that they kind of shuffled her to the side. Granted, they also tied her in with, you know, the love story and the Hulk, and, you know, and then that made everybody kind of mad and stuff like that.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I thought was really cool, and it was the credit scene where Thanos is just, he's just had it up to here with all these people messing up his plans. And he just he says something along the lines of, if you want something done, you got to do it yourself or something like that.
Yeah.
He said, cool.
He said, looks like I'm going to have to do this myself.
Yeah. And he holds up like the gauntlet and everything. It's like, oh my gosh, that's going to be fun.
Well, to me, even that was, yeah, it was good, but that felt underwhelming too. Compared to all the post credit scenes that they've done, it was a little I don't know. You know, it's nitpicky, but, you know, and it made a boatload of money, and so, you know, obviously I can't fault what they did because they're obviously following the prescription and the formula, but I just wish it was a little more kind of not safe.
Maybe did a little different.
They played it safe. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I went to that movie with like zero expectations at all. I almost didn't want to go. I think I just went out of obligation, and I really enjoyed it. So I thought, you know what, I might not be like uber excited for all these Marvel movies, but you know, I'm probably going to enjoy all of them. So with that said, I'm really looking forward to Ant-Man now. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Do you want to go see Ant-Man, or are you game for that?
No, you know what? I am kind of game for Ant-Man. I actually think it's going to be surprising to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Kind of along the lines of Guardians of the Galaxy was surprising to a lot of people.
Everyone really didn't want to see that movie at all, and
everyone thought that movie was going to be the first Marvel movie to bomb, and it wasn't going to be good, and it surprised a lot of people, not only with the action but the humor and the excellent acting.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are thinking or expecting Ant-Man to do the same thing. I think it's going to surprise people. I don't think it's going to surprise people as much as Guardians did.
Yeah,
but with the creative people, Adam McKay, who is he does a lot of Will Ferrell movies. He was brought on to kind of work the script and stuff like that. And I like Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd's an excellent comedic actor.
I love Paul Rudd. He's like my guilty pleasure in movies.
He's great.
He's never let me down.
And you can't go wrong with, you know, Michael Douglas, you know, modern day. He's a modern day, awesome, you know, amazing actor. He's one of our society's greatest living actors right now.
Michael Douglas is fantastic. Did you see him in that movie?
Black Rain? Yes.
Black Rain. I'm trying to think of the other one where it's like the movie about the divorcing couple or something like that. I can't think of the name of it.
The Game?
No, it's...
Oh, the one that Fatal Attraction?
No, but that was a good one. Or Disclosure is the one I thought of originally, but it's... What is it?
Was it Wall Street?
The War of the Roses. The War of the Roses. Remember that movie?
What year was that?
That's like 1989, but it's like Michael Douglas and Kathleen Turner are this married couple that... absolutely hate each other, and they're trying to they're basically trying to get the other person to leave the house. That they've got this really super nice house, but neither of them will do it. So it's I guess the way you would describe it, like a black comedy with like a lot of antics. It's like a black slapstick comedy, if that makes any sense at all. But
that makes sense to me.
Without a, it's a minor spoiler, but Michael Douglas taking a piss in the fish. That's cinema gold right there. That's something everybody needs to see right there. It's Michael Douglas urinating on a stove.
Good thing I took my my headphones out and didn't hear that, because I have not seen that movie yet. So I have heard of it. I do remember hearing that name.
And
so
Danny DeVito narrates it. How awesome is that? And a very young Sean Astin is in that movie as well.
Oh, wow.
So Rudy is in that movie.
Rudy. So. And what's his name from Goonies? We bring it all back. It's circular.
Hey, look at that. You don't like Rudy, though, do you?
I don't like Rudy. I don't think I've seen enough to, okay. Rudy might be one of those movies that, that falls under my category that I've seen bits and pieces over the time, but I've never actually sat down and watched the entire movie.
Well, I was thinking maybe you didn't like Rudy because you were an alumni of the proud USC Fighting Trojans, and that's Notre Dame in that movie. And it's like, well, why don't you make a movie about USC instead of Notre Dame?
Well, because, it's a fictitious story that's embellished for film. So I don't really believe it's the true story.
No.
So I don't really mind. It's a film. Sure, we have national championships. We have a lot of them. It's okay.
But yeah, I really do want to see Ant-Man a lot. But he plays Hank Pym. But Hank Pym was Ant-Man in the comics, isn't he? Like, how is that going to work?
He plays Scott Lang, actually.
Oh, okay.
So second Ant-Man, Michael Douglas plays Hank Pym.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got confused.
Scott Lang is the story behind Scott Lang, from what I remember. Yeah, I'm a little dusty on that. Oh, Dusty Rose was a piece. Oh, man,
we really are bringing it back full circle. Jeez.
An American dream, baby. American dream. Scott Lang is a kind of, he's a cat burglar, and his daughter is ill, and he has to basically steal stuff to make money to pay for the medicine for his daughter. And in the movie, obviously, Michael Douglas gives him a second chance and tells him to be Ant-Man and to be the hero that you should be.
Oh, so, nice. That's going to be a fun movie. I really think that's going to be a really fun movie. So
I think it's going to be like I said, surprise. I think it's going to surprise some people. I don't think it's going to surprise as much as Guardians of the Galaxy did, but I think it's going to do. I think it's going to do really well. I think it's going to make a lot of money.
Will the nerds like it though?
I think the nerds will like it, though. I'm sure they'll probably he had a big fight with a train and da 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 da, and the crazy stuff that they did for the trailers and stuff like that. So I'm sure that dude, you cannot appease nerds. Right?
No, you cannot.
All nerds cannot be appeased at once. All right, that is. I think that's written. That might have been one of. I think that's the 11th commandment. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think. I think I remember that from church camp a few years ago.
Moses brought a third tablet just for that one. All nerds cannot be. Appease thy nerds.
And nobody likes Hank Pym, do they? He always seems like he's kind of annoying anytime I read about him in a comic book.
I don't know. I mean, I think. Is it? He's a smart dude, and he's. I think he's up there, kind of with Mr. Fantastic and stuff like that, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. He's. They're always working together. Him and Fantastic and Tony Stark. They're always, trying to get things done or something like that.
But. I think the knock with Hank Pym. I think he was also kind of an alcoholic and a. He may have beaten his girlfriend or wife.
Yeah, he hit the wasp. Sometimes.
Ah, there you go, Janet Van Dyne.
Yeah, he punched her in the face, and then she punched him back, and I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't know what happened with that
one. Maybe there was a fly on her nose. I don't know.
I don't do enough research on my... Every time I think I'm going to start reading comic books, I don't. And, I found a picture of him hitting Janet Van Dyne. So,
nice.
She's like, I can't let you, and he yells, shut up, and he hits her. He backhands her, and she's wearing lingerie. What kind of respectable man backhands a woman wearing lingerie?
Hank Pym does, apparently.
He's a jerk is what he is, man. He says, This is like an old comic book too. It looks like from like the 60s or 70s or 80s or something. So it's not anything recent.
They didn't mess around in the 60s and 70s, right? And we got looks like we got Mr. Fantastic slapping Susan.
Oh, he did? Wow.
It looks like that. I don't know. Maybe that might be doctored. I don't know.
Are all the Marvel characters like wife beaters or something?
Oh, yeah. She is wearing some lingerie. There we go.
Man, that's what a disrespectful person he is. I don't like Kingpin.
He slapped her and he says, "Don't you see? It's the only chance to redeem myself. It's the only way."
And so, he does that by hitting a woman. Yeah, good job, Hank Pym. Maybe Michael Douglas will I don't know. Maybe Michael Douglas will redeem the character in the film.
I think Michael Douglas wants to hit his ex-wife. I don't know.
Who's Michael Douglas's ex-wife?
That's Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I thought they were still together.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought they were. I don't know.
I don't know.
I might be forecasting the future. I don't know.
Well, let's see. Well, it'd help if I spell Michael Douglas. It says, "Did you mean Michael Outlaw? Who is Michael Outlaw?
Who is Michael Outlaw? That's great.
I don't even know, but
is he a pro wrestler?
Michael Outlaw is. It says the page Michael Outlaw does not exist, but it asked me if I met Michael Outlaw, and
I think we stumbled upon one of the great internet mysteries of the 21st century.
The first thing that comes up is the North Texas Mean Green football team. They played against my alma mater, Arkansas State, and apparently they have a guy named Michael Outlaw. That's a cool name, man.
Like, that is a cool name.
We should all know somebody named Michael Outlaw. What about Mikey Watson? Can he change his name to Michael Outlaw?
We can. We could ask him. I don't know. He might be down for that. Maybe. That might be his in-ring wrestling name.
Let's see. It says...
Michael Outlaw going to take you to the outhouse, boy.
Oh, it says that they took some time apart. Not Michael Outlaw, but Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. But they got back together.
Oh, well, there's happy endings all over the place.
So she's off the market. So,
oh, damn.
Maybe Michael Douglas and Michael Outlaw had a thing going, and that's why she moved out. I don't know. We're going to have to do some research on this one. So
Catherine Zeta-Jones and her frozen Botox face is off the market. I saw a movie with her recently with who is it? It was the guy from the 300, the first movie.
Bob Barker. I don't know.
Yes, Bob, but he was Bob Barker.
Bob Barker. Yes. Second, I don't know who it was.
Don't forget to spade and neuter your Spartans. no, I whatever movie it was, a couple of years ago. It was
Gerard Butler. That's who you're thinking.
Gerard Butler. There we go. And she must have got Botox for that movie because her face was not moving. It was not even catching up to her words because her face was a little frozen. It looked a little cold. Let it go.
Oh, man, you stole the line right from under my nose. Good job on that.
And I haven't even seen the movie.
Playing for Keeps would be the name of that romantic comedy.
Funny movie, actually.
It had Dennis Quaid, Uma Thurman, and Uma Thurman didn't kill anybody in that movie, I don't think.
No, she didn't. She didn't.
Oh, if only. Wouldn't you love to see Uma Thurman with the sword just murder Dennis Quaid and Catherine Zeta-Jones just right in front of us?
In real life.
No, no disrespect to Dennis Quaid, but he kind of plays the same guy in like every movie. He's like that. Aw, shucks, I'm just a good old guy, you know. Like
he's actually my choice, my dark horse choice to be Cable.
I don't like Cable though, but
how do you not like Cable? Traveling Mutant.
He just feels like that super stereotypical, like I'm a tough anti-hero superhero guy. Let me shoot a guy with a gun, like
a giant gun that's bigger than a car, and I've got 52,000 pouches filled with stuff.
Now taking my personal feelings away from this fictional character who has no feelings at all and could care less if I don't like him or not. Dennis Quaid would be a cool version of Cable. I could support this.
I don't know. I see him or Rafe Stevenson or
Ray Romano.
Ray Romano is not.
Hey guys, I'm back from the future. That's a horrible Ray Romano impression. I'm never going to do that again.
So Ant-Man, are you looking forward to Ant-Man?
I am. I really want to see Ant-Man. I really want to get around to seeing Jurassic World sometime. But
I do too. I'm kind of a little scared though. But you know what? Actually, okay, I take that back. I'm not scared at all because assume that it's just going to be a bunch of dinosaurs going crazy, people screaming, having, you know, craziness, madness, and then Chris Pratt showing up with his velociraptors trying to save the day.
So I thought you were about to say you were going to be scared of the dinosaurs themselves, like, because they were going to come out of the screen and eat you or something, and you would be frightened. No, I've got to see it because my coworkers at work, God bless them, they're like threatening to like spoil the movie for me or whatever. They're like, "How come you haven't gone to see this yet?" And I'm like, "Well, I have children. I can't just go out and see a movie whenever I want to. I'm trying to budget and take care of them and stuff like that. So maybe I'll try to see a matinee showing this week or something like that." So,
right on.
When are you going to get to go see that? Are you going to be able to see it this week?
I was supposed to go see it last weekend, but that fell through. Maybe this coming week? I don't know. Though I'm tempted because I did find it on an illegal streaming site for free. And I watched the first like minute of it and I was like, all right, you know, the quality's not that bad. But I didn't know if I want to really see. I did the same thing where with Mad Max, where I found it on the same site, and I was like, yeah, but I think I want to go see it in the theater, and I did, and it blew my face off.
Yeah, I really want to see that too, but right now I've really only got the budget to go see like two movies this summer, and I'd rather see Ant-Man and Jurassic World over Mad Max. That's not a knock against Mad Max. Every movie in the world, I definitely want to go see that. But
right on.
I've never seen the original Mad Max movies, though. I feel like that's a hole in my life that I need to fill.
You know, you don't really need to see those movies in order to understand this movie. It's just understand that. You know, it's a post-apocalyptic future, and it's a wasteland, and it's everybody's fighting for gas, and I think you'll enjoy it because they do some kind of expository pre-story before it starts. But
it sounded like you said suppository, like the little pills you put up your hiney.
You know, yes and no. Train Spotting. If you really want to see that movie, you can see that.
I'd be worried if I saw the original Mad Max and just be seeing Mel Gibson and being like, is he gonna like yell some hateful things about some minorities like any moment now, or if this was before he went crazy or something?
But this is before he went off the deep end.
Well, maybe I should get around to going to see that though. They look like fun movies. I just have never gotten around to seeing them. There's a lot of movies I haven't seen, and I feel bad for that.
Yeah, speaking of those movies, Mad Max, is it Road Warrior and then Mad Max 2? I don't know.
Yeah, and then there's one where he's got to escape from Thunderdome or something like that.
That's the third one. Oh, yes, okay. With Tina Turner, no less.
Oh, wow, she's in that movie. Okay. Yes, is Wilt Chamberlain in one of those movies? Which movie is Wilt Chamberlain in?
No, that's Conan.
Oh, okay. I need to see that. I haven't seen Conan either.
Yeah, it's one of the Conans with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
If I had to, all right. So I've got a few movies in mind. Should I see any of the Mad Maxes, Conan, or Escape from New York first? Which one of those?
Oh, damn. I go with just because Escape from New York's one of my favorite ones. I'd go with that one first, probably.
Yeah.
Then you go a little Mad Max. Then you can do Conan.
Do I see Escape for L.A.? Is that like...
No. Oh, okay. Do not see that.
Kind of like RoboCop 2. I've yet to see RoboCop 2 because everybody says, no, don't do it. Don't go see that one.
Which one is RoboCop 2? Is that the one with the other one? The other guy is a robot? Or is that RoboCop 3?
It might be RoboCop 3. I just remember RoboCop 2 at the beginning of the movie because I read a little bit on the Wikipedia. It says, like, they figured out that the bad guys can, like, stab them to death and kill them that way. And that just seems kind of lame that, like, he's this awesome robot, but you can take a knife to him and kill him, like, you know, like a piece of meat or something.
He's bulletproof, but he's certainly not knife-proof. And they made some really sturdy knives in the not-too-distant future of Detroit, I will say that.
I guess so, they did, yeah. So
I don't know which one that one is, but it's, all right, Kane, give me the nuke. And there's some drug that's going – I think that's the third one, where they took some brain of a serial killer and put him in another kind of robot body. And, so.
I think that is RoboCop 2, I think, is that one.
Oh, there.
I typed out RoboCop and nuke, and then it comes up, and it's like the police raid, like a nuke lab or something like that. So, and then Frank Miller wrote the script for RoboCop 2, apparently.
Oh, did he?
So, yeah, I think that's RoboCop 2 that he did. I don't know. By the way, did you see that Frank Miller's wanting to do another one of those Batman comic books?
Is he really? Wow, I did not see that.
It's going to be like the sequel to like Dark Knight or something like that. Like, it's in that universe. And I don't know how.
Didn't they already have a sequel to that?
Yeah, and it was garbage. It's the worst comic book I ever read.
Yeah, it was not good.
Oh, it was terrible. I read that on an airplane flight, and I almost wish the airplane would have crashed just to keep me from having to read that stupid thing.
I almost wish Al-Qaeda was on my flight. Jesus.
That's how bad this comic is. Take my life now. It's not worth living anymore. But no,
way to drop the ball, Osama.
Oh man, it was terrible. And you know what? If this new one he's writing, if it kind of retcons or gets rid of that second one, then maybe I'll give it a shot. But if this new one he's doing takes place in that same continuum or whatever, like that comic book, he pretty much says that Superman like raped Wonder Woman at one point. Like, get out of here with that. That's nonsense.
What has he been doing recently?
Frank
Just
Miller?
Kind of festering?
He's been like trying to audition for like the Tea Party like political movement or something like that. He's gone crazy.
Why don't you Google his portrait? He looks like a modern day ghoul, all right?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he's kind of scary looking. But I can't find anything about that. He got mad at those people who were protesting in that Occupy movement or whatever. He got mad at those people. So,
of course, get off my lawn.
Yeah, whatever you call it, he's like crazy, like super right-wing, like conservative or whatever.
Oh, that's awesome. That's exactly what we need more of.
I know, right? So, yeah, so that's Frank Miller for you in a nutshell. So
now, okay, RoboCop, we're going RoboCop. I'm jumping straight over because he, you know, looks like a robot of some sort. He's an android with a human brain.
Oh, I thought you meant about Frank Miller still was a robot with an android brain.
Which one?
I think RoboCop and Frank Miller are both kind of the same thing.
There. What do you think about the newest and latest and greatest Terminator movie that's going to come out?
I want to see that, but just mainly because Matt Smith from Doctor Who, which I love, is in that one.
Yes, so. But he's not in any of the trailers. They still haven't named what he is.
Yeah, apparently he's like he has a small role that gets bigger as the trilogy goes on. So. Oh. I don't know what he's
eating problem. He just expands.
But I do want to see that movie. I forgot all about the Terminator movie until you just brought it up, and I don't know if that's a good thing or just my stupid memory failed.
It might be a bad thing. I'm a little fearful. It seems like a pretty cool idea that they would okay, it's kind of cool that they would retcon and try to basically jumpstart the entire franchise over again, but it's also pretty crappy because it's erasing everything from Terminator 1 and 2. Granted, it's erasing things from Terminator 3 as well, but
yeah.
You know, I don't like it when they retcon stuff and they basically, you know, especially comic books, where comic books, they'll be like, oh, everything that you just gave us money for about 6 months ago, well, that didn't happen because we're just retconning it and we're changing the, the parallel universe to be this universe, you know, like what Marvel does or DC does. And I think it's kind of a slap in the face of fans or the people that pay the bills.
Yeah. Wait, so you would rather them do – would you rather them do a remake or do what they're doing with this Terminator movie?
You know, I'm very contradictory as well because I kind of dig the fact that they sent a Terminator back to Sarah Connor when she's young and he's basically become like the babysitter and everything like that. And then they show up when Kyle Reese first shows up in the 80s and – Sarah is not the, you know, the delicate, you know, oh my God, I don't know what's going on. She's a battle hardened badass. So I kind of dig that. But on the flip side of that coin, I'm kind of a little like, I kind of wish they didn't do it like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess the best option would be for just somebody to come up with a brand new franchise and a brand new story to tell. I think that's, I think that's what I would like at the end of the day. Like,
it, does it have to be Sarah Connor this entire time? I'm sure Skynet probably sent back Terminators to kill other people before.
No, I just mean like coming up with like a brand new franchise or something like that. Just,
Well, yeah.
I mean, you came up with Terminator. You've shown that you can create something great. So let's see what else you got in that brain of yours. Like, give us another type of story or something like that that we can get mad at that they're remaking in 20 years.
Well, you know? Well, James Cameron, you're talking about him. He did Terminator 1, obviously, Terminator 2 as well. You can get
Titanic.
Mad at him. He did Titanic. You can get mad at him for doing Avatar, and we're going to get another two of those, I believe.
Oh, we are?
Oh, boy.
Did you like Avatar?
No.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, visually, it was really good. It was stunning, but it was also all pretty much 90-something percent computer animated, which is, hey, there's always a place for that and to be in the future. And it looks really cool, and it's a story that was recycled from some other stuff. But, I just watched it maybe last year for the second time. Saw it in the theater first time. Really cool visually. Second time, it's like, no, I don't need to see it anymore.
My mother-in-law got mad at me. She's like, how can you have never seen Avatar, but you've seen both Kill Bill movies? I was like, because the Kill Bill movies are fun.
Those are actually pretty good movies.
Yeah. And I think that was like her favorite movie or something like that, which, whatever. Everybody's got their own likes and dislikes, but okay, Avatar is your favorite movie.
Tell her to get off my back.
Hey, we got some reader mail.
Hey-o.
So there you go. This one is actually directed at you. This is from my friend Beth Ann. She said, hey, show your co-host James Ryan this game and see what he thinks. It's a copy of Super Mario Land on Game Boy on Amazon for $699.99. Apparently, it's not opened. Would you pay that much money for an unopened game? If you would, which game? If not, why?
Is that Super Mario Land? So you didn't send me the link. Did you send me the link?
No, because I'm a bad person.
You're a bad person. Yeah. Is that Super Mario Land from the original Game Boy?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
That's my favorite Mario game, but
That's a great. I used to have that until my ex borrowed it and I never saw it again.
Yeah, I don't like your ex. The less we say about her, the better.
Horrible. That's another story for another time later. a lot of games died that day when she
died. Oh, man, she's terrible.
Lot of stuff. No, I would never. I don't think I would ever spend. Let's see. I'm clicking on the link right now. I would never spend more than $600. Oh, and just in case the $700 wasn't enough, $399 for shipping. Because I really want that $700, and you're gonna also pay my shipping too. That's such a complete bullshit. What? Sorry. What a jerk. What a horrible, horrible person.
You know, if I'm going to pay money, like if I'm going to pay $700 for a video game, I'm going to go get it myself. I'm not going to trust the United States Postal Office or whatever to get that for me. I'm going to go pick it up myself.
I'm not paying $700 for a Game Boy game that's unopened, unless – now here's the caveat is – unless I knew that some crazy multimillionaire who was eccentric as all hell said, I really want an unopened Super Mario Brothers and I will pay you $1 million. Boom. I will drop $700 right there and I will pay the $3.99 for shipping.
Would you pay that much money for Grand Theft Auto? Like San Andreas? That's one of your favorite games.
I know, but I would not pay that much for an unopened game because I'd probably want to play the game. And I can go to eBay and go get that game how much is on eBay? Super Mario Land, I can probably get it for under $5.
Oh, you can buy the digital copy on a 3DS for $5. So,
boom.
There you go.
I can also download an emulator for free.
Or just come hang out with me sometime. I've got it on my Game Boy. That's the one Mario game I actually play every week.
Or go track my ex-girlfriend down. You can go borrow from her.
Can we hire one of my lady friends to beat her up? Because I'm a guy. Sure, I can't hit women. That would just be
no.
Wrong.
You can't. Don't be Hank Pym.
No. That's if we've learned anything tonight, it's don't be Hank Pym.
Don't be Hank Pym.
Don't do it. So
don't do
it. You should aspire to better things in your life.
No. So I will not. I would not pay $700 for a Game Boy game, an unopened Game Boy game. I would not pay $700 for pretty much anything unless it was. especially not one game. If it was a brand new TV and entertainment system and a bunch of other crazy things, sure, $700 fits right there. If I really wanted like a cabinet, like a video game cabinet with like every game imaginable, and it was $700, I'll drop $700 for that. But yeah. I'm not paying for the old school Game Boy game, which I can get for free online, or yeah. I can get it for $5 off of eBay.
I tell you what, if you're ever like craving like that to buy that game for $700, I will just mail you my copy, and you can have that one instead.
Free shipping. I'll give you the $700. Sure.
Hey, I greatly appreciate that. That's our reader mail segment this evening. We only had one email, but
I think please send more email to not anger me, but to send me on a rampage on of words as I belittle the seller. What's his name? Arastash.
Something
Arastash.
Weird.
You that are the worst suspicious. Seller ever.
So. And actually, we have another email. This one's also addressed to you. It's DustinFaber@gmail.com. It says, hello, James Ryan. I'm coming to get you. Signed, the Noid. So, you know, you gotta keep avoiding the Noid. He's on the lookout.
It's an everyday exercise I do.
I don't know how you do it, man. You're a stronger person than I'll ever be.
Every day I brush my teeth. I wash my hair. I wear clean clothes. And I avoid the Noid.
You know, if I ever make like a crap ton of money winning the lottery, which I got to play the lottery to win. I just realized that I should probably play the lottery if I want to dream about winning it. I'm going to finance a movie where the Noid just like chases you. And that's
I would love that. Why is that not a film short? And if it is not, I think somebody has just given me a wonderful idea of avoiding the Noid as a short film.
You live in California. You know all those people that make movies out there. That's all everybody does there.
I know all
there.
The people.
Yeah.
I know everyone.
Spielberg and Kevin Costner. Oh, man. A Spielberg-directed Costner film where the Noid is after them. Oh, that'd be fun. So then Bob Barker murders the Noid right in front of all of us. And then
I didn't expect the Noid to come after me this week. I actually expected when you said there's a second email that I was going to get the Hellfire and Brimstone from one of your friends who I ran down verbally about the beer that she said was not good. So
I forgot about that.
I'm eagerly biding my time. I'm anticipating the day that she replies as a fires back a salvo right at me.
She's a nice person. She'll never do that. So don't hold your breath, sir.
All right. Well, don't hate me, but I'm sorry.
Don't hate me because you're beautiful. Yeah.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Hey, it's almost time for us to say goodbye for the day. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything you'd like to plug, sir? Heyo! Let's not go that direction.
Let's see. Go check out my. One of my podcasts, Time Limit Draw, where we just did. What did we do? Oh, ECW's One Night Stand 2006, and the main event is John Cena defending his World Wrestling Federation Championship against Rob Van Dam.
That's the origin of the if Cena wins, we riot catchphrase.
Yes, it is.
That's a fun show.
And if you don't want to watch that whole entire pay-per-view, do yourself a favor. If you're a wrestling fan, watch that match. I'm sure you'll find it on YouTube or something like that, or on the WWE Network. And it is just – it's about 20-minute match. It's 20 minutes of the crowd verbally destroying John Cena.
And he actually plays up like the heel part pretty good in that match.
Oh, he totally did.
Like
he's
getting out of the ring, like a heel would do.
Oh, yeah.
To avoid punishment.
He knew exactly what to do, and the crowd was just, they were booing him and calling him all sorts of names, and it was hilarious. And on that episode of Time Limit Draw, which can be found at Monday Night Flaw, we did a Dusty Rhodes memorial as well.
Yeah,
we
kind of talked about our favorite. Yeah. I want to get
we talked about our favorite that. Moments and things like that. And I put a couple. Obviously, I open the show. Usually, I open and close the show with a theme song of one of the wrestlers from the pay per view. But I opened it with the WWE theme song for Dusty Rhodes, and then I closed it with his old NWA theme song. But I also put some verbal clips as well.
As you should.
As I did.
Good.
So that's it. One day, possibly during next weekend for the 4th of July weekend, I've been promised that my co-host Maria, who is with child currently, she's pregnant.
How long has she been pregnant? A year now?
She's I think on her second trimester, so she's on the second leg.
Man, it feels like she's been pregnant since like last year or something like that.
Well, I don't think she would like to hear that, but
no, probably not.
But she promises that we will record an episode of Army of Darkness. So
while she's in labor, is that
while she's in labor? Yes.
No, that's a terrible idea. Don't do that.
She will be barbecuing most likely for 4th of July. I will be barbecuing and enjoying a few tasty, delicious adult beverages.
I've actually got the 4th of July off from work, I think.
Nice.
I think 4th of July. Well,
that is a Saturday. It is not this coming Saturday, but it's in 2 weeks.
Oh, I don't have that day off. I've actually got a 3-day weekend, but it's in the middle of the week. It's Wednesday, Thursday. So it's July 1st through the 3rd.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of cool, though. I mean, it's 3-day
weekend. That's un-American, though.
Well, you know, that's... Hey, you've got to go... I want to hear about next time we do a podcast, if it's after July 4th. Y'all have this, like, crazy parade downtown or whatever where some celebrity shows up and talks to y'all or something.
Yes,
like that.
That's right. In my hometown, Pacific Palisades, they shut down one of the main streets through town, and it's Sunset Boulevard. It's one of the biggest streets in all of Los Angeles, and they shut up down about a mile and a half, and they have floats, and they have bands from all over the place, and they have animals, and they have fire trucks, and, you know, just going up and down the street in a pretty cool parade. And usually we have a celebrity grand marshal who is the obviously grand marshal of the parade. And a couple of years ago it was Anthony Hopkins, followed up the next year with Steve Guttenberg of Police Academy fame. And a couple other ones were pretty good.
You had
remember
Ed Asner, didn't you, last year?
We had Ed Asner, I believe, was last year. Yeah. Yes,
voice of the dude from Up. That's
yes,
good stuff, Ed Asner. Maybe next time this year you should have Bob Ross. Maybe he can do some painting for you.
Oh, I see.
Rest in peace.
Oh, he died.
Yeah, really? He died in like 1995.
You jerk.
I didn't know about him until like this week. I saw like a fake looking Bob Ross in like a paint commercial. And I'm like, who is that guy? I always see him in memes. And my wife is like, you've never heard of Bob Ross? So we watched The Joy of Painting, old episodes from the 80s on YouTube. And he's great. I'm like, where's he been all my life? But
we used to watch that in grade school. They would put that on like TV once in a while. And it would be Bob Ross. And there would also be a guy. I still remember this. The show was called The Draw Man.
Oh, man.
Which sounds really scary when you say it. The Draw Man.
Draw Man. That's like a cool cowboy or something like that.
Yeah. I'm the Draw Man. Welcome to Boot Hill.
Oh, man. Yeah. So you all got to watch cool stuff when you were kids, and I did not. I guess PBS was too liberal in my house or something. I don't really know. But
we also watched Davy and Goliath. I remember that was very pro-religious.
Liberal. That's very liberal show too, Davy.
Was it really?
No, I don't know. That's like one of the most conservative things in the world.
I know. Well, I don't remember because all I remember is it was claymation because I was like, oh, cool, it's like Gumby. And I was like, oh, this is not like Gumby at all.
This is a terrible version of Gumby. So I just typed in, I was going to be like do a joke thing, too liberal or whatever. I started typing Davy and Goliath and like it pops up. The suggested thing is Davy and Goliath too violent. I don't know if you think that show is too violent for your children. I don't know what's wrong with you, but yeah, I don't know. Oh, man. Well, I had a fun show with you this evening. It was good stuff.
I did as well. Always a blast, of course.
By the way, you can find me at 16-Bit Catholic on Twitter, and you can go to DustinFaber.com to find more of my stuff, and we will have to podcast, and maybe the next time we podcast, we'll have both seen Jurassic World. I keep wanting to call it Jurassic Park, but that's
I
not
know.
True.
I do, too. I do. Jurassic Park World.
Why didn't they just call it Jurassic Park, like, 4 or something like that? I don't know.
Quattro. I don't know.
They did that with Fast and Furious. Like the first Fast and Furious movie is called The Fast and Furious. And then they had like one that just called Fast and Furious. Why don't they just call it like The Jurassic Park or something? Like Ohio State football. Like the
Jurassic Park.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll get around to seeing that.
You can find me at on Twitter at Beer Baron for life. And you should – you know what? What's the last thing that I tweeted?
Well,
I know
as
you
is always customary. I always tweet.
As is customary.
Tweet
though I think – what's the second to last thing? I know it's – I think one of them was because I checked in for Untappd. I wrote a funny joke.
You were drinking an Almanac IPA.
I was.
Yale Manor. Look at you, super fancy. You earned a photogenic brew.
Woo, woo, woo. Look at you go. But, yes, you can read the one about the fireworks, because that happened last night at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Somebody decided to shoot off fireworks.
Why did he do that?
A little early for 4th of July, buddy.
It's like not even like June 23rd or something. Ah. You've got terrible people that live nearby you, by the way. Just so you know. But
just so I know.
And I might be back a week before you get on here and yelling at people who are yelling at the Pope, because those people mm-hmm. are crazy. They say, Pope, get out of politics. You shouldn't let faith drive your politics. But then they turn around and say, yes, my faith life molds everything that I do in life. Like, what are you even doing? What are you guys even doing?
What do you think about that? Because I mean, I was always under the assumption that church and state should be totally separate, and which is usually what should happen. But obviously that's not what happens nowadays.
Yeah, he was just giving his thoughts. I mean, he's not a... You know, he's not changing U.S. laws or anything like that. He's just basically saying, hey, take care of the earth, you bunch of jerks. Like, stop looting and polluting, or Captain Planet will turn you into a tree. No, ooh. I don't think he actually said that. But
I wish he did.
Oh, that'd be the greatest pope ever if he said that. Captain Planet, take you down. But yeah, so he talked about that. And then those GOP politicians, all those lovely GOP politicians were all like, hey, the pope should stay out of politics and leave that to scientists. But it's like, well, why don't you leave it to scientists? And, you know, I don't know.
But didn't the Pope say, like, the major, like, slam back? He's like, I was a scientist formerly. I was a chemist. Wasn't he a chemist or something like that?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
He has a degree with some sort of science. So he is technically, by all intents and purposes, a scientist.
Yeah, I typed up science. Somebody tried to do Pope Francis science fiction. Maybe he's like, maybe he's Doctor Strange in the new movie. I don't know. But
time Pope.
Yeah, he was a chemical technician. So
there you go.
Yeah, so when those GOP Republican politicians say, hey, leave it to scientists, he can say, hey, I am a scientist. That's what
and then drops the B word as well.
Yeah.
I censored myself. Right?
Hey, you know what? You did a good job. I got to find a funny sound effect for you earlier. So I'm going to work on that. I'm going to go to bed now because I got a child who's probably going to wake up in 6 hours. So.
Woohoo! Oh, no.
I didn't get to sleep in on Father's Day. Probably because I slept in the two previous days before that.
So. By the way, I did not tell this to you, but before we leave, happy Father's Day to you.
Happy Father's Day to you as well.
I have no children that I know of.
That you know of. Well, let's mm-hmm. keep it that way.
Let's keep it that way. Keep your nose clean there, pals.
All right, man. Well, hey, you have a good week. Everybody listening, thank you so much. We'll be back sooner than we were last time. So have a good night, everybody.